Amen. We are excited. We're in our new series called Living Worship. What is competing for your heart? Today, we're going to go through the word and we're going to talk about in this series what it means to really have living worship with the Lord. We're going to take our time with this series because I think this will define who we are as we get ready for the summer, as we get ready for what God is going to do in our lives. We need to understand what living worship really is. So if you would, I want you to open up your Bibles and get your pen and pad ready. I want you to write. And I want you to be ready for what God's about to do. Bow your heads. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are going to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, open up the word of God, and let us know what living worship really is. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many are ready to hear a word from the Lord? How many? Amen. I'm sure you didn't come to church just to play games. Let's get into the Word of God. You know, first of all, when we talk about living worship, we need to define what living worship really is. Living means having life or being alive and not dead. It means being active or thriving, being vigorous or even strong. That's what it means to be living. But when we talk in terms of worship, it means adoring, reverence, or regard. So number one, if we're going to define what living worship is, I would define it in this way. You might want to write this down. Living worship is an active life of reverence towards God. Not a dead life, but an active life that can be seen living in reverence to God. Not irreverence, but reverence, because there are those who live an irreverent life. That means a life that does not reflect the calling or the purpose or the design that God had for their life. In fact, this is something very serious to God. I want you to do me a favor. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is a very important verse. This is when God spoke to over a million people at one time. Most people know this chapter to be the chapter where the Ten Commandments were designed or laid out before the people. But here's something you may not have understood. When he did this, this is the only recorded time that God spoke publicly, openly, audibly to over a million people. Could you imagine that God would speak to everybody in the United States at one time? And you would hear his voice. Well, this is what Exodus 20 defines. And God gave the Ten Commandments. But I want you to look at number 7. Number 7, verse 7. And I want you to read it for me. Go. All right, let's try that again. Now that we know we're reading English, let's do this again. Here we go. Go. Come on. This is a very interesting verse in the King James. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain." And oftentimes we think in terms of that kind of verse is talking about using his name in a swear or a cuss word. And you can't misuse his name. But that's not what it means at all, ladies and gentlemen. What it means is that, please, as it says in the New Living Translation, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. In other words, when you walk and go and live in his name, if you call yourself a believer, someone who is following the way of the Lord Jesus, if you claim his name, don't misuse it. What it's saying is that your lifestyle can say whether you are in reverence or irreverence to God. Because if you say, "I'm a believer," and yet you live like everyone who doesn't know him, you have taken his name in vain. It's like with my children. I say, "Listen, you know what? You're a Yates. When you go to school, I expect you to remember you're a Yates. You represent me. And when you cut a fool, you make me look like a fool." And the same is true with God. If we claim God as our Lord and Savior, the question becomes, are we having living worship where we're showing reverence to Him wherever we go, whether home, in the streets, in the parking lot, in the grocery store? Are we showing reverence to God everywhere we go? It can't just be in the sanctuary. Living worship lives wherever it goes. Ah, you missed that. Has anybody, if you're living, are you alive only when you're home? But when you walk out the door, you just drop dead? Anybody done that before? I hope not. I'm not praying this morning for raising the dead. I'm just letting you know now. And so when you go to church, we have worship. We're living and we're loving God. And we're saying, God, you're amazing and awesome. But when we walk out the door, boom. We drop dead. And people go, are you alive? Are you, you know, what happened? Because I don't see the same thing that I see in church. God is desiring us to have living worship, that we are alive and active. And worship is not just within four walls. It's in our home and in our hearts. It's who we are when no one's looking. It's that worship that says, you know what, God, I love you and I'll hold you in reverence because you're good to me and because you've saved me and because you love me. I want to show the world that I love you, and by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one to another. When was the last time you showed the love of God out in public? This is living worship, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to be true believers, God wants us to shift from just thinking it's about being a obedient believer only by coming on a certain hour. But no. The worship He desires is every day, every hour, every inhale and exhale. It's living worship. You know, what's amazing to me, there's a text in the scriptures where Jesus literally begins to talk about what worship is. We won't be able to finish it all today, but I want to begin to dive in that text and begin to show you what Jesus' thoughts were. But I'm going to give you some historical background as we do this, because I'm going to take my time with it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 3. And it's a very interesting encounter, an encounter that Jesus had with a woman. Amen. Scandalous. This could be on television. I would love to see this on NBC, ABC, or just cable. How many, or DirecTV? Who got DirecTV in here? Anybody? Amen. I'm so sorry. Comcast is still available. Amen. I'm so sorry. You got to laugh. All right, here we go. John 4 and 3. So he left. The story is very interesting because Jesus was just in Judea. Judea is the fundamental ground in which he did a lot of his ministry. But in verse 3 it says, so he left and returned to Galilee. In the King James Version it says he departed. Now it's very interesting because the word returned or the word departed is not your normal word they would use to describe that. This word departed is a different kind of word. It means that he left, meaning he left the thing to itself, to its own ways, to treat it as no longer exercising any influence upon his mind. In other words, when he left out of Judea, he says, I'm done. I'm done. I've been ministering, working with these guys. I've been trying to tell them the truth, but they don't want to hear me. So I'm going to go over here. And see, what he was talking about, because in Judea was the home territory of Pharisees. And Pharisees believed that, you know what, the people follow us. And what was happening was that John the Baptist was baptizing so many people, and the Pharisees would sit out there and go, look at all these people John the baptizing. Who does he think he is? You think you the Christ? He says, man, I ain't the Christ. He's coming, and I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. And then what happens? Jesus shows up, and he starts doing ministry, and the Bible goes on to say that he baptized even more people than John the Baptist. So the Pharisees were getting antsy. And they were like, well, who does he think he is? He's taking the people from us. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, true and living worship isn't about a person. It's about a God. Pharisees were concerned that they will receive the worship of the people. And they were more concerned that, take your eyes off of him, put them on me. And Jesus says, you know what? I can't reside in a place where it's all about people. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, Jesus had to leave the area when it was all about one person. Well, I could sing. Pastor, I can do this. I can do that. You need to. Jesus will never rest in one area if it's all about you. Come on, somebody. When you come into worship, you can't look at who's standing on the stage. Well, they better move me. They better get me out of my seat. They better make me lift. No, nobody's going to make you lift your hands. Nobody's going to make. If you're waiting for somebody to move you, Jesus is going to move on. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said? Listen, I need you to move into living worship, the kind that moves Jesus back into Judea. You want Jesus to rest in the land of your heart, but you have to say, I'm not waiting for him, I'm going after him. You know what amazes me is when we do worship, and the choir is very, very nice. They're very, very polite, and they say, listen, if you'd like to come down during worship, and you just like to come and worship, you can come down by the altar. I just want to get up and say, hey, if you're in the building and worship starts, y'all all should be down at the altar worshiping God. Oh, come on, somebody. We can get so sedated. Look at your neighbor and say, are you sedated? No, you got to look him in the face. Are you sedated? We try to get so pretty with worship. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you look like a pterodactyl. Come on. When Jesus walks in the room, man, I want to go crazy. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, he's here. Woo! You hear me? When worship begins, we should be running and going, God, I lift my hands before you. I don't, watch this. You may not feel like it. What happens on the day? You're like, man, you lucky I even came to church. I'm so mad at everybody around me, everybody getting on my nerves. I'm broke. I'm sick. My head is hurting. And you want me to worship? God, I'm coming. Listen, did you hear what I said? The day you don't want to go to church is the day you need to be in church. Come on, somebody. That's when you need a moment. That's when you go, I ain't listening to that voice. I'm going to church, going to church. I'm taking my body to church. I'm taking my body to church. I worship one, worship two, taking my body to church. You got to make yourself have a living worship, not the kind of worship that sits down and go, oh, that's good worship. That's good worship. No, you need to be out of your seat and you need to be like, hey, move. Woo! Woo! That's a Steve Yates original. Woo! We need to get to a point where no one has to tell you to come to the altar. You come because you're looking for something. See, all those Pharisees were too sedity. They were like, you know what? It's all about me. It's all about me. You know, move me. Move me. No. Jesus said, I'm moving on. I'm departing out of Judea. And he went to an area that nobody wanted to go to. The Bible says that he went to a place called Samaria. Go to verse 4. You know, I love Jesus because the Pharisees didn't want what he had to offer. So he goes to a people who don't know what they're missing. Gotta show up with somebody who never even knew that all that was out there. That he could do all that and a bag of chips. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been blessed abundantly and beyond all you could think or ask? Anybody ever had that happen to you? where you thought you were going to get a little and God gave you a whole lot. And then you realize that God is pretty good. He's pretty awesome. And so when you come to church, do you worship him or do you still say, well, you know, I got to keep my dignity? You know, because you don't do that. You know, you come to church, you know, some of us come up in very conservative backgrounds. You know, in the Catholic Church, you just kneel, sit, stand. Sit still, kneel, sit, stand. Read, sit, stand. But raise your hand? Oh, no. There's some churches, if you raise your hand before God, you are just a distraction. And some of us have gotten to the point where we say, well, you know, it's better this way because, you know, I'm not into all that. But I don't know who you're following as a role model. Because I heard of the story of King David when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. You know, King David was a king. He's supposed to be dignified, had the crown on his head, had the robe on his shoulders. The man was the baddest boy ever. He should have just walked like this and just everybody dropping flowers and waving at him. And all he had to do was walk into Jerusalem like this with his crown and everything on him. But the Bible tells me that David didn't count that as important. When he came in with the Ark of the Covenant, he said, "You can have my robe." Woo! He began to jump and dance till his clothes fell off. Now y'all don't have to worry. I'm putting my jacket back on. I don't go that far. Now, not for no sermon. Amen. He danced until his clothes came off. And you know what his wife did? His wife was called Micah, and the Bible says she looked on him and said, "That just makes me mad. He don't need to do all that." Well, you know, you don't want anybody to hinder your worship with the Lord. If someone doesn't agree with the fact that you're willing to be free in Jesus, you might need to be free of them. Come on, somebody. I'm just being real with you. Because the Bible says, even in the last days, the elders stood before the throne, and all of them had crowns on their head. But when they saw Jesus, they took that crown and cast it down and fell on their face and began to worship. Now, I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, if the kings of the earth cast down their crowns, what are we supposed to do when we come into place and we see the presence of God? We ought to throw everything down. Listen, you got to hear me. I'm not trying to make you a certain kind of church. I'm trying to tell you, you need to loosen up. Look at your neighbor and say, "Loosen up." You know, look the other side and say, "Enjoy yourself." You know, one of the best things my pastor ever told me when I was coming up with the Lord, he said, "Steve, do what is natural." He says, "If you want to weep, go ahead and cry, boy. If you feel like running up here and laying down at the altar, come up here and lay down, son." He says, "Don't worry about what nobody say. Don't worry about what nobody do. Don't come on now. It's all right, girl. Do what's natural. Come on. We think, oh no, you got to be, hold your peace." Blind Bartimaeus didn't hold his peace. When he was blind, he said, "Hey, hey, hey." People said, "Be quiet, boy. Be quiet. Hey, 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 hey. Get your hand up my face. Hey, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Everybody else trying to be pretty. Jesus stopped and said, "Whoa, hey, hold on. Who's that making all that noise? Boy, what you want?" He said, Lord, thank you for acknowledging me. Thank you, Lord, that you see me. I can't see you, but if I just let go and don't care about the crowd, you will acknowledge me. I want to see." He said, "Then your sight be made whole." Pop, and his eyes opened up. Woo! He wouldn't care. He wasn't Sid Eddie. Look, his neighbor again and saying, "Are you Sid Eddie?" I remember there was a worship woman with an issue of blood. There's a big old crowd walking around. Jesus walking down the road. You know, the Jesus music playing. Don't. He had his own theme song. Don't. I had too much cereal this morning. That's what it is. I'm trying to figure it out myself. Don't. Jesus is walking, and the crowd is all around him. And then this woman with an issue of blood, according to the Jewish law, is not allowed to touch him, because if she touches him, he will become unclean. But when your need is great, you don't. When you get to the point where you don't care if what anybody, when your need is great enough, you will push through the crowd, through everybody. Now, she pushed it through the crowd, right? Everybody she touched got unclean. I don't care. I'm sorry. Unclean, unclean, unclean. I'm sorry. Unclean. Gotcha. Unclean. Thought you were going to be good. Gotcha. And then she gets to Jesus and touches the hem of his garment. Now watch this. Here's a beautiful thing about it. Jesus didn't even turn around. Jesus walking like, ho. Who touched me? That's how he said it. Who touched me? Y'all read the Bible wrong. I read it right. Who touched me? And the disciples are like, man, what's wrong with you, Jesus? Don't you see all these people around here? Everybody touched you, man. No. I ain't talking about physically touch me. Someone touched my spirit. Someone pressed through the crowd and drew something out of me. When I wasn't even watching, I wasn't looking in their direction, but they pressed in and drew something out of me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to double dog dare you. Can you draw something out of Jesus? You may see him blessing this guy, but I guarantee you and double dog dare you, if you press in and you worship God, you can draw to make him go, what? Who are you? I love what happened. Jesus looked at the woman and said, my God, was it you? You know what she said? She was afraid. She like, Lord, I'm in trouble now. He done turned around on me. He says, woman, your faith has made you whole. No, you got to understand how he said it. Because you read and you think that Jesus said, daughter. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. No, he was shocked. Because when he turned around, he said, virtue came out of me. Power, virtue, dunamis in the Greek. Power. Listen, it don't matter who preaching. It don't matter who's singing. You got a crowd of people in the room. But if you press through, your worship becomes alive. He can be moving in a whole nother direction, and the blessing fall on you. Jesus looks at the woman and says, my goodness. He didn't say, I will that you be made whole. It was already done. He just needed her to understand it was her pressing in. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand something that's the truth. Don't come to church trying to hear a good sermon. No. You might get one on a good day. Day. But if I have the worst day preaching ever, and the crowd ain't paying no attention to you, you could still press in and get some virtue out of God. Come on, somebody. That's living worship. Living. It's alive. It's alive. Come on now. Frankenstein ain't the only one that was alive. It's worship. When you come in and press in, man, you can help me. I'm sitting there struggling in a message, and God said in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God. But then you press in while I'm struggling, and the Word, and they go, Jesus! I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And the Word was with God. Ah, ah, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. Woo! Man, I start preaching. Ha! And God said, let there be light. Y'all like, what happened to Pastor Steve? What happened to Pastor Steve? Someone got some virtue. Come on, she can share. How much time I got left? Man, I got 5 minutes. I didn't even start the thing. It's living worship, living worship, living worship. Living worship, living worship. It's worship that's active. That means you can't come to church and wait on something to happen to you. I've never met a person that was waiting on something to happen that didn't do something to make it happen. Jesus walked in the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand. He looked at the dude and said, come here, man. The man stood up and he says, listen, you want to be made whole? Yep. Stretch out your hand. Now, the man had a choice. He either going to stretch out his hand or he's going to stretch out an excuse. Come on, Jesus, don't you see my hand? Been like this since I was 14 years old. Why would you ask me to stretch it out in front of all these people? You trying to embarrass me? Oh, there's a truth in there about worship. Jesus says, I want you to lift up your holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want you to stretch out your hands. I want you to have faith in me. I want you to put them up so you can say, God, I surrender all. And you go, but God, if I do that, am I going to get embarrassed? Because I'm not used to doing it. Do you want to be made whole? Then stretch out your hands. Come on, you don't always have to understand it. You just got to do it. Living worship is saying, God, you said in your word, I'm going to do it. You said in your word, I'm going to believe it. You said in your word, I want it. Jesus is not playing with the Pharisees anymore. You won't see revival around Pharisees. People trying to draw. Listen, there's too many churches in the world today trying to just get members. Just get, come on, see me. We got the best worship. We got the best. You know, you're dead as a doorknob. You're like a white sepulcher. You got nothing but dead bones on the inside. What do you mean, Pastor Steve? In the Old Testament, you couldn't touch bones. So if you touched the grave, you were unclean. So what they would do, they would bleach the stone till it was solid white. So at nighttime, if you were walking in the dark, you would see the white of the stone and avoid it so you wouldn't become ceremonially unclean. And so many people have the nice, pretty outside, but inside are dead men's bones. We don't want a church full of dead people. We need a living worship. It ain't about the person. It's about the person of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get to a point where we're having worship that's alive. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes that's all you can say, Jesus, Jesus. 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 He knows what we need. He knows where we are. Jesus. Jesus. God, I want to be different. I want to live in a way where I don't misuse your name. You know, if I live all week long honoring his name in my lifestyle, when I come to church, I'll be satisfied. So many people are dissatisfied with church because they think it's the quick fix for the rest of their week. You have forgotten that Jesus is the only one who can be your fix. Jesus, amen, daughter, just move as you feel. Jesus is the only one who can fix your problem. If you're going to live right, do it all week long. Then when you come into the house of the Lord, you can lift your hands, holy hands, holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. You can lift your hands clean. Then the power of God would wrap himself around you because you're prepared to worship. It's living. It's what you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday that prepares you for Sunday. I don't care what your issue is. Let it be blood. Let it be issues. Light bill, car note. I don't care. Job, husband, wife, kids. Bring your issue. Live the life. I guarantee you, virtue will hit you in your seat. You don't need a choir. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. Listen to me. You don't need to be pumped. You don't need to be primed. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. That's the greatest worship you could ever give to God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. Only believe. I don't need a 10-star band with a worship leader with a cut chin and nice eyebrows and a full set of hair. I don't let him be bald and buck-toothed. I don't care. But if he believes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to have living worship. The kind of worship that affects you. Kind of worship that envelops you, changes you. Listen to me. You may have been waiting for the moment. I'm going to tell you right now, create the moment. Create the moment. Create it. We're just going to take 5 minutes. Come on, right now, all over the building, go on and create your moment before God. Stretch your hands out to him. Begin to talk to him. Begin to tell him how much you love him. Come on, don't worry about your mama, your sister, your brother, your wife. Don't worry about your kids. Man, your children need to see you do this. They're waiting on you to do this. They're waiting to see what mama can do, what daddy can do. Come on, somebody. Begin to reach out. Touch the hem of his garment. Only believe that God can do anything. You need a miracle right now. You need a breakthrough right now. God will give it right now. Stretch your hands out and let God touch you in your situation. Hallelujah. Living worship. Living worship. Living worship. Ha. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your background. It's all the same to God. He said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Only believe. Let it go. If there's an anger, grudge, or sin, unforgiveness, let it go. and only believe. Only believe. We worship him because he is to be worshiped. He is awesome and wonderful, and words fail to describe him. Adjectives fail to describe him. Time will fail you to describe him. You don't have enough words in any language to wrap around him. There is not enough daylight to talk about him. The moon will fade before you're finished. He is God. Therefore, he can only say, I am that I am. Because you ain't got the time for me to detail who I am. Therefore, Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. He's God, my provider. You need to see God and make up your own word to who he is for you. To me, God is faithful. God is faithful to me. I don't need a Hebrew word. He's Jehovah faithful. I'll make my own. It's my story. And right now, you need to ask yourself, what is he to you? What is he to you?